and welcome to all of you. It is good to see you here this morning. I do see a few, I got to say guest faces. I don't know what I see, but I see some guests out here today, and I do want to say a special welcome to any guests we have here with us this morning. It is especially good to have you here with us for our worship service this morning. I do have several things that I'd like to announce quickly. One is I will start with welcoming some new members to our church. They're not new faces to us. They've been here with us for a number of years now, but I did want to recognize Philip and Kimberly Robinson, along with three of their children, Michaela, Lane, and Tony Lynn. We just want to say welcome to them as new church members. Also, I keep having a little bird that comes by me every so often to drop a few birthday reminders, and I had one this morning, and wanted to say a belated happy birthday. Yesterday was Mr. Jimmy Anderson's birthday, so we say a special belated happy birthday to Mr. Jimmy. Also, I do have a special announcement for tomorrow. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at the high school cafeteria, there will be a county council meeting, and we normally don't mention this kind of stuff, I know, in church or in the morning, but it is a special meeting and an important meeting, and we're asking for all who can attend to do your best to be there tomorrow night for a very important meeting. That, again, is at 6 o'clock in the high school cafeteria. Also, tomorrow morning at Walker Gamble on the playground, there will be a prayer meeting for all who can come, all who can attend would be great. I don't know, I was going to say I don't know how many it would be, but as many as can come, it would be great. It, again, is at 8 o'clock on the playground at Walker Gamble tomorrow morning. I believe that was all I had to mention this morning, except I do have one letter from Miss Juliet that I would like to share. But before I do that, were there any other announcements this morning from the congregation? Patrick.
Good morning. I have two announcements. The first one, it goes to the parents or any student or adults planning on going with our church to Team Missions International for spring break. That's where we take a group down to volunteer for the week of spring break. We have a meeting today at 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall for the parents who have kids going and for the adults who are going. It's very important that you make this meeting so we can get a head count, also so that you can get important information and papers that need to be signed for your child to go. So that's the first thing. Number two is next Saturday we'll leave the church at 2:30 to head to Winter Jam in Columbia. The cost is $10 per person to get into the concert. You pay at the door. So good idea if you're going. Let me know. Second thing you need to do is make sure you have $10. And then also bring some food money. And we'll be home whenever it's over at hour and a half. That's what time we'll be home, usually around 11 or 12. So if you're going, let me know so I can have transportation. I'm lined up. Adults, hey, I know some of y'all are dying to go again. We might need your help. So think about it, pray about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. Were there any other announcements this morning? If not, I would like to share a letter from Miss Juliet. It says, "Dear church family, I don't have the words to express my sincere thanks to all of you for the love and kindness that you've been showing to me these last few weeks. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the visits, the food, cards, and flowers, but most of all for your prayers. God has truly blessed me with a wonderful church family. I love and appreciate each and every one of you. May God bless you and keep you in his loving care always. Continue to remember me in your prayers. Love, Miss Juliet." And we will continue to remember you, Miss Juliet. It's good to see you this morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again are thankful to you for your love toward us and your mercy and your grace that you've shown us. And We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together as believers. And we just pray now that you would prepare our hearts and our minds for this time. We pray that whatever we say and do this morning, it would bring you honor and glory. And we pray that you would use this time together to draw us closer to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Again this morning, we can say with all our hearts and joy, this is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing, and we're glad in it. Again, expressing that joy in the Lord, join with me as we have the call to worship. He is here. Hallelujah. Followed by hymn number 409, I Know Whom I Believe. Let us stand together and worship the Lord in song together.
Thank you. One of the really neat verses that in the Bible, well, something that Jesus said, he said in response to a reaction of his disciples, I mean, the reaction was, well, who then can be saved? Because they realized there wasn't anything they were going to be able to do to get it done, and Jesus spoke these words. He said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. And indeed, that is the season that we're in and moving towards, this idea that soon Good Friday and Easter shall be upon us. In fact, 4 weeks from today, Easter will be here. And we are planning a very special celebration of Easter. And we're praying already that God is going to bless in our lives, in our church, and in our community. And if you'd like someone to come and be a part of it, there are invitation cards up here on the altar on both sides. There's a few of the larger ones left, but there's some smaller ones up there as well. This way you can invite them, leave them something, and encourage them to come, because that day we are going to not only be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord, but we will be presenting the gospel message very clearly for all. And what a great day. We look forward to that. It's impossible for us to get it done, but it wasn't impossible for Jesus. Let's pray. Almighty God, if we turn anywhere else, or if we turn to anyone else, we've simply chosen the wrong way. Over and over throughout your word, it just points us directly to you and to you alone. Your word assures us that, Lord, that you're not only going to come to us, but that you're going to love us. And Lord, we know, as your son Jesus said, we know that there is nothing impossible for you. Our best is simply to come to you each day and let you fill us with grace and with faith, so that we'll be able to live our lives within your strength and in the might of your holiness. Oh Lord, today we ask you to guide us. Lord, to lead us closer to you, to fill us with a deep desire that we will be obedient to your calling to preach the gospel throughout the nations. Today, Lord, we ask for you to forgive us, Lord, and to cleanse us from the sin of our busyness that so often gets us focusing on what's going on in our lives to the point that we forget the most important things, the eternal things, where we forget to talk to people about Jesus and about Calvary and about forgiveness and about life. So, Lord, forgive us today. And in the end, Lord, we want to be busy about your things, the things that truly matter. And so, Lord, as Good Friday and Easter approaches, begin working in us, preparing us, Lord, that we'll be open to you and that we will hear your message loud and clear. And Lord, we're praying that you would open up to us opportunities to invite others to come and to hear that message. And Lord, we pray for them that we'll be invited, whoever they are. We're asking right now that your Holy Spirit would begin to prepare their hearts to receive the invitation. May we live your love, a love that, Lord, is never discriminating, a love that is inclusive and welcoming to all. And so, Lord, we pray that you would lead us on. Lead us on in your love. Lead us on as your church. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Call me my Savior and my God, my living God.
Made this world
joy,
my
heart rejoice.
Until it's right.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you for your many blessings to us, and we ask now as we give this back, Lord, that you would take it and you would use it for your honor, for your glory, for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Following the singing of this particular number, favored by a special selection by Lynn Dukes, while we sing this next number, however, we again will dismiss our children and children's church workers to their place of worship for the remaining service. With that, let us turn together to hymn number 481, Stand Up for Jesus, followed by a special by Lynn. Let us stand together, dismissing our children and children's church workers to their place of worship. Stand up for Jesus, joining together in singing.
Thank you.
And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Ben?
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But when things change and you're down in the valley, don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God of the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes easy when life's at its best. In the valleys of trials and temptations, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God of the night. The God of the day is still God of the night.
It is always more than just words. And it is never that we are simply passive, but we are actively involved. Some people think that praying is what I've just said. We say a few words almost as if we are like God's cheerleader, where we say, go get them, God, and then we get to kind of step back, do nothing more. And without doubt, by the way, there are some things that only God can do. And we absolutely got to sit back and watch God do those things. However, the majority of the time when it comes to prayer, I believe that Charles Allen nailed it when he said, God sometimes answers our prayers independently of us, but usually God answers prayers through us. And so it's not as if, of course, God needs our help in order to get it done. That's not what we're talking about. But God so often includes us in the God things, and when we're included with that, it almost always starts in prayer. When we pray, thy will be done, that's not the end of things. In fact, it's in many ways just the beginning of things. When we decide we're going to say yes to the question before God asks it, we're saying we're making ourselves available to you, God, to do whatever you want us to do. And even when Jesus prayed, thy will be done, there was a whole lot more to do before our redemption was purchased. Sometimes God answers our prayers independently of us, but usually God answers through us. There was a little girl named Julia. She went up to her pastor and she said, Pastor, she was really upset. She said, Pastor, my younger brother, he's built a bird trap. And he probably built it because he knew his sister loved birds. And she said, I don't want him to catch any birds, and we need to pray that God will foil his plans. And the pastor said, well, okay, yes, I will pray with you about that. And so she went away and
A couple of days go by, maybe it's Wednesday or the following Sunday, I'm not really sure. But anyway, she comes in and the pastor says, well, Julia, I'm still praying and I'm praying that God will hear and answer our prayer. And she said, oh, pastor, I know God's going to answer our prayers because I kicked my brother's trap to pieces yesterday. Sometimes God answers independently, but sometimes, usually, God answers through us. Praying is more than simply words. True prayer is not passive or mundane. It's not as if we say a few words and then we get on to the more important things. True prayer prepares us. When we humble ourselves before God, see, that's when things truly begin to happen. I was, one of the tweets on my line this week was, when we pray more, the more we pray, the bigger our dreams, and the less we pray, the smaller our dreams. And I believe in that. True praying moves us, and then it sends us out. In prayer, God reveals what we're to do and even how we're to do it. But we can't get the raw order wrong. It's not as if we can go out and kick our brother's trap to pieces and then decide we're going to pray about it. No, that's a recipe for disaster. What we do is we humble ourselves, we begin to pray, and then we let God lead us in how to do it. Humble prayers of faith in Jesus' name. Now that, by the way, is a mouthful. Humble prayers of faith in Jesus' name. When we humble ourselves, when we realize that we can't do it and how desperately we need God, when we pray in faith, knowing, believing God can, trusting God will, when we pray in Jesus' name, those types of prayers make a difference. Those type of prayers, well, you better strap in pretty tight when you start praying that way because God's getting ready to do some big things. Jesus spoke these words in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read verses 7 through 11. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for a piece of bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Man, loud and clear, isn't it? Jesus said, we ask, we seek, we knock, and when we do, we get, we find, and we have doors open to us. In other words, prayer requires action and movement on our part. Now, it's more than words, although it does include words, because Jesus said, we've got to ask. Now, notice he said ask. I don't think he ever said tell God what to do or demand that God do something, but Jesus said ask. And understand who we're not asking a stranger that doesn't know anything about us or care about us. We're not asking some sort of a miser or a Scrooge out there that doesn't want to give us anything. We're not even asking one of our enemies that's out there that all they really want is our head on a silver platter. We're asking God. We're asking a God that has promised us, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We're asking a God that said, I will meet all of your needs according to my riches in glory through Christ Jesus. We're asking a God that said, if you'll cast your cares upon me, I care for you and I'll lift you up. We're asking a God that loves us immeasurably more than we can ever understand. So be clear, know who you're asking. It's back to what we looked at a few weeks ago in that parable about the woman and the mean, bad judge. I mean, she finally pestered the judge where he'd done it, but Jesus said, God's not like the mean, bad judge. God loves us and is going to give us the things that we need and give it quickly. See, we're asking God, and the reason I think that bothers a lot of people that they're asking God is because they don't know God the way that God wants them to. When Jesus taught the disciples on prayer, he said, start this way, our Father, which art in heaven. Now, we don't think anything about it, do we? In fact, that just kind of off the tongue and out the mind without ever stopping to consider what we've just said, but it would have been radical to the disciples. To a good Jewish person back in the day, they wouldn't even say the name of God out loud in case they might say it in some way disrespectfully. So for Jesus to say we get to approach God as our heavenly Father, that was a radical statement. And praise God, by the way, that God is not bound by the imperfections of earthly mothers and fathers. And it's sad that a lot of people, when they hear that, can only draw up negative images because that's all they know from their own earthly parents. But God is our Heavenly Father, and He loves us with a perfect love. And so Jesus used a sharp contrast to help the disciples get it. He said, because if you, even you, I mean, you know, your parent, you know you're not going to give your child a stone if they ask for a piece of bread. You're not going to hand them a snake if they're wanting something to eat. He said, if you, as bad as you are and as full of sin, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does God? See, we ask knowing that God is truly looking out for us, and that's really good stuff. I don't know how many times I've said, thank you, God, for not giving me what I asked for. You know, and James has got some pretty clear things to say about asking and receiving way back in his little letter. He said, you do not have because you do not ask God. That's clear enough. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. In other words, one, we don't get it because we don't ask God for it. And secondly, we still don't get it because we're too busy asking God for the wrong things or asking for the right things in the wrong way. How many times are we asking for God to do something that we want or to give us something we really don't need, when what we ought to be asking for is that God might make clear His will for us and for our family and for our future? How often are we busy looking at ourselves, selfishly wanting more stuff, when we need to be seeking Christ and His kingdom in our prayers? As much as we like to think that we can keep our selfishness and sin under control, let's just face it, it's just not true. But the positive side to all of this is simply God's, you know, even though we blow it, God doesn't blow it. I mean, we might ask for the wrong thing, but God will never give us the wrong thing. See, I don't want a God that's a genie in a bottle that grants my every wish. What I want is a loving God that's looking out for me. So ask. Go ahead and ask, said Jesus. And then He said, seek, and you'll find. And that's written in such a way where Jesus said, you know, seek. Keep seeking. Don't ever stop seeking, and then you'll find. In fact, how many verses are in the Bible that said, if you seek me, you'll find me? Perseverance and determination, these are so very important. President Coolidge once said about perseverance and determination, he said, nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful people with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, press on, has solved and always will solve the problems of the human race. Now, he was close. He wasn't right, by the way, but he was close. It's only in persistence and determination on our knees seeking the omnipotent one that truly the problems and the needs of humanity will be solved. And so we don't get to seek once and it's not a one and done. Okay, I sought the Lord last week, now I don't have. No, each and every day we get up with a hunger in our hearts where we're seeking the Lord with all that we are. Now, experience says to me that persistence and determination are rare. A lot of people start strong, but few finish that way. And if we want to grow individually and as a church, then we're going to have to persistently stay down on our knees in prayer. We've got to pray before we do it, before we invite somebody. We need to pray while we're inviting them, and then we need to pray after we've done it that God will use it and bless it to His glory, not for ours. Many things to seek, but the one thing, indeed, that I think everything else hinges is simply this. We need to seek to know God better, because the better we know God, the better we know God's will. See, our lives really aren't supposed to be like a pinball. And I know I'm dating myself a little bit there. You know, the ball just bounces this way, that way, and every which way. That's not the way our lives are supposed to be. We need guidance. And so we need to seek God's will. We need to know God's will, and then we need to do God's will. We are to seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else begins to fall into place. It's that simple. In seeking God, we find. Now, in seeking, of course, sometimes what we find is some things about our lives that we're not really thrilled with. And what we also find is when we're seeking God is sometimes God will discipline us as if discipline is a bad thing. But parents, I mean, I guess there are some sadistic parents out there that like to discipline their children just because they think it's fun. But the truth is, most parents discipline their children because they know they need it. It will make them a better person. The writer of Hebrews said, "Have you forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? My sons, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves." Moreover, we've had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. So seek God, and God will always come to us. And almost to reinforce this idea of actively seeking, Jesus said, knock and keep on knocking, and don't ever stop knocking, because when you're seeking God and knocking in that fashion, God will begin to open up to you a whole new world. God will come through every time. Not 1 out of 10, not 9 out of 10, not 9.9 out of 10, but 10 out of 10, God comes through. When we ask, when we seek, when we knock in humbleness and in faith and in Jesus' name, problems as big as mountains begin to go bye-bye. When we knock, and when we pray, and when we ask in Jesus' name, the Lord will begin to open up the doors of ministry to us, and people will listen. When we have the faith to knock, God will answer the door, and we can do more and go further than we ever dreamed. So knock, said Jesus. Knock, and God will open the door. A friend of mine once said in a little country church years ago, I've never forgot, he said, we should never pray a prayer that we are not willing to be part of the answer. Now let that soak in a little bit, really. We should never pray anything that we're not willing. Now, not that God will use us, but God might, but that we're not willing to be part of the answer. Now, think of the implications. If you're going to pray for a job, then it means you got to get out there and go look for one. If you're going to pray that one of your friends or somebody in your family would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, it means that you've got to be willing to go talk to them. It means that if you want the hungry fed, you not only got to give some money to a soup kitchen, you got to go grab the apron out of the counter and go there and cook and serve them. It means if we really want our church to grow, we're going to have to be willing to change. And I believe that's why many churches are dying on the vine today and not willing to truly pray for growth, is because they're not willing to truly become part of the answer. Prayer is more than words. We want God to act, but too often we prefer to sit back and do little ourselves. And what God is saying to us is, come on, come be a part. Come join me in what I'm doing. And maybe even a good exercise periodically for us to do is to take and write down our prayer, exactly what we want it to say. And then we need to say, well, for this prayer to be answered, this, we would need this to see it answered. And then we ought to list all the things we already have to answer that prayer. And then we've got to ask the tough question, how many of those things that we already have are we willing to give that God might use us to become part of the answer? What we find, of course, is many times God has blessed us with everything we need. Years ago in an old cotton factory where they were making thread, they really only had one rule, and that was if the thread got tangled, if you were a worker and the thread got tangled, you were to immediately call for the supervisor. And a lady went to and got hired, and that's what they told her. Look, there's really only one rule. You get the thread tangled, call for your supervisor immediately. And all across the room, signs everywhere, if your thread gets tangled, call for the supervisor immediately. Now, the first day, everything went great. Second day, a couple of hours into it, she noticed a slight tangle, and she just started. She didn't really want to call for the supervisor because, she wanted them to think that she could do the job. And so she thought, well, I'll try just a little bit, see if I can fix it and just keep going. And, of course, she made a total mess of it. So she calls the supervisor. He comes over, takes one quick look at it, and says, well, you've been trying to untangle this yourself, haven't you? And she said, well, I was trying my best. And And he said, and he stopped her right there and he said, no, you were not doing your best. Your best was to call for me right away. Our best is not to try to do it ourselves. Our best is to turn to God in prayer and follow him. Our best is to allow God to elevate us up where we can then be at our best. Absolutely, life gets tangled up, but God and God alone knows how to untangle the mess that we get ourselves into. True prayer is more than words. True prayer moves us to ask, to seek, and to knock. So this morning, are you willing to pray and to give what you have and to let God use you to become part of the answer? Lord, we thank you for the beauty and the wonder of prayer. And the truth is, Lord, it seems like we're just tapping the beauty and the power of it so often. When, Lord, we want to come to you and we want to come with this idea of humbleness and in faith and believing in you and in your name. Because we believe you do have great things. Great things that you're doing. Great things that you will allow us to be a part of if we will simply humble ourselves before you and be willing to let you use us. Use us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand up.